Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
May appear a confusing blur of activities, each ant doing its own thing, but it can't be. Somehow the ants coordinate their actions so that large insects are overwhelmed, killed, and carried back to the base.
Pairs is dying, and my people are suffering. Money's still low, you should see how they budgeting.
Watch what comes out your mouth.
People are suffering. It's elementary, they want us all gone eventually. Pairs is dying, people are suffering. The money's still low, you should see how they budgeting. Pairs is dying, and my people are suffering. The money's still low, they want us all gone eventually.
I swear to God, living in this economy is like a robbery. The government taxing me when they owe me for my property. You niggas act like you happy to live in poverty. When I feel like a king, they gotta make these fools acknowledge me. I'm royalty and loyal to the feeling of it. The contrast make it look thuggish. We talk, walk, and look rough.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Give us just a moment, or give me just a moment, as I have a new setup. I've been working on improving the sound quality of the programs that I either host or act as a technical producer, and I got a new setup, so I got to get used to it. Right there, I made a mistake and didn't stop the CD player, but we hope that you will enjoy what I think is an improved sound quality in the future. Programs that are produced on Black Talk Radio's digital radio station, providing you with new black media for the new millennium, of course. Today's date is April the 25th, 2016. It's a Monday. Hope no one had any run-ins with any of the modern-day slave catchers out there. You know, the enforcers, what are they enforcing? They're enforcing code, laws, what have you, and in the manner that they enforce these laws and these codes determines whether or not they're practicing racism or if they are aiding a system that is really all, when you get to the root of it, is nothing but slavery. So I hope no one ended up in one of them slave holding tanks that we call jails. And I'm sorry to call them slaves because I know it's dehumanizing. And what have you, I've heard people in the conscious community discuss, you know, referring to them as enslaved Africans. They weren't slaves. And I agree with that. But in communicating to the masses and something that they understand, so they understand the urgency of what they are facing, what is happening to, in fact, their loved ones, their family members, what they are paying taxes and supporting, and it's slavery. And, you know, it is what it is. And let's not sugarcoat it. Let's not be politically correct about it. In fact, we are legally correct when we say slavery was never abolished in the United States because of the exception clause of the 13th Amendment. So let's just be real. These are slave uprisings and rebellions, resistance to slavery that we've been seeing going on in the prisons over the years, over at least the past, I would say, 5-6 years since I've been reporting, or in the last 5 or 6 years that I've been reporting news and paying attention, you know, to the wire, what they call the wire intelligence reports is you know, what other industries call them. And I've been seeing an increase in these uprisings, and it's not just black people, but it's also Mexican Americans, Guatemalans, anybody that is from south of that border, that GEO Group and Correction Corporation of America is making billions a year off of these people and putting them into slavery. It is slavery. It's slavery. And they have been rebelling and doing work stoppages. And I remember reporting on a story out of right there close to the Mexican border, this one prison where they got a whole bunch of them crammed up in there, ignoring their human rights, not giving them medical treatment and what have you, and being forced to work. So they said, you know, putting them to sleep out there in tents. I mean, that's all well and fine if you're in the army and all of that, and, you know, you infantry and you know, you have to be used to that. You know how to deal with that. But, you know, these people, these victims, they don't, you know, they don't know how to handle living in an open desert where bugs, scorpions, all kind of stuff can, you know, get them. And so they've been saying, okay, we are not going to work. Well, what are they working on? Anybody ask that question? What are all these people working on? What areas are they working in? And what kind of impact does that have on jobs in those communities? We know slave overseers, you know, people call them prison guards. We know, you know, their economic benefit, but who's benefiting from the labor? Of course, the state or the corporation and their stockholders. So, I mean, it's just so widespread and it's blatant and it's in our face. So I don't use the word slavery or call these people slaves because I'm trying to be some kind of shock jock or what have you. You should be shocked already by the headlines. That, you know, it's like several a month, every month, people being beat to death in jail by guards, by other prisoners being forced to, slaves being forced to battle. How many of those battles was life or death, you know, betting going on this? I mean, it's slavery. It is what it is. They are what they are. So, I just want to, I didn't even plan to jump off into that, but I haven't heard any mainstream news media reports. I've been checking my social timelines and no one has given an update. I can check Facebook group, Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery. I probably could find something, but, you know, usually people will have shared it. It'll show up in my timeline. I just haven't seen it over the past days. But the brothers, and I don't know about the women prisons, I don't know if they have joined, but they're doing a work strike in Texas, and this is a state prison, and this is predominantly black men. And then describing the conditions on their list of demands, you know, they're using the language of modern slavery. This is modern slavery. So we're not going to work. We're not going to work. And they have been retaliated against. Let me check Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery. I don't know if Max is listening, if Max out there or anybody who might have some information can call in and give us an update. The studio line is open. That's 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. The conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. If you have that information, like to share it, or any comments on what we'll be discussing over the next hour, please do not hesitate to, you know, give us a ring. Hit star 6 and 1 will bring you in. But let me do a quick check of our abolitionist group that is on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, all you got to do is put in New Abolitionists or Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery, where we try to keep each other informed and in the loop of news stories that is related to slavery. You know, a lot of stories, you'll see a lot of reports about racism. Well, that's because slavery today is primarily race-based. But unlike yesteryear, as they say, when they had came out with the slave codes in the 1600s, that's when it was African descendant only, or black, free black person. Didn't matter. They kidnap you, send you south, pick some cotton, be gator bait, whatever, breed, and what have you. And so it's slavery. So we created this group just to keep us informed. Each other informed, because there's a lot of people doing great work. It's also, you know, to give positive reports of people. Other people be like, well, you know, if it's let's say 2 million people who are wrongfully incarcerated every year, and you know, you only get like 10 out in a particular county or even a state per year in that state, but if you look across the country, it starts adding up to hundreds of people with different organizations putting in work, legislative moves being done through pressure being put on the political system and what have you. And people take these things lightly, but we're talking about, in fact, we're talking about freeing slaves with this debate going on about Harriet Tubman, with both sides making some logical arguments about, you know, counter racism and putting the hands of a black revolutionary picture into their hands and forcing them to use this currency just to make them get emotional and, you know, might make a mistake when they trying to practice racism. They just, you know what I'm saying? And then also, you know, others have said to, you know, other children will ask questions. And then it's on us. You should already be doing that. Your children should not be learning from their enemies who our heroes are. And she is a true hero. No doubt. So, but, you know, that would lead young people to ask questions. Yeah, you're going to have some negative responses, but overall, it's on the adults to make it a teachable moment. But then also the insult, you know, because that currency represents capitalism. Thomas Jefferson talked about his enslaved Africans as capital. I mean, it was in the letters he wrote when he came up with the formula of how to make a profit off of breeding black people into slavery, and he called it capital. Capitalism. Now, I don't get into all these theories about, you know, what's the best financial system, communism, socialism, and all of that. All I know is what I have grown, been born into on this continent and studying its history. So I'm talking about U.S. capitalism. That's what I'm talking about, with the banks involved in it, still involved in it. You still buy stock in the aforementioned private prison and jail companies, making money off of modern day slavery. So I don't see anything. I just scanned through the group. It's a lot of important information there. It's also some information on that topic about Harriet Tubman. But, you know, that's a symbol of capitalism. And if you really want to honor Harriet Tubman, I had this thought just the other day and it just came to me again. If you really want to honor Harriet Tubman, become an abolitionist like she was. Educate yourself on the history of slavery legally as a code from which what people call white supremacy was born, taking away the rights of not just slaves, but also free black people. Nobody wants to talk about free black people. Everybody want to act like we was all enslaved and we didn't, you know, make our way into the world like everybody else and establish ourselves on new continents and what have you. But, you know, it is sad that people stood on the sideline and permitted the mistreatment of other people. Was talking about that the other day. And then that is when they start practicing racism and put the fear into the free black people in case they, you know, make it illegal to even talk about abolitionism, let alone try to end it. So that is where we find ourselves today. It's like, you know, there's this TV program I watched the episode of. Every once in a while, I'll wind down, watch sci-fi movies, but this dude got a ship and he can go back in time and whatnot, and it showed the different periods, you know, the prevailing laws and level of white supremacy and, you know, the and things and whatnot. But it's like we still stuck in the 1600 slave codes. For real. For real. There is nothing that has changed. Those laws, those codes are still in place. They just don't specifically mention people by race anymore. But then that's how when you give states, you give police departments, slave catchers, autonomy to implement the policy. Well, they target who they want to, and it's completely manageable. Being a person who was, you know, an aspiring leader in my first 6 years in the United States military and learning how organizations and structure work and following orders and things of that nature. So, you know, that's why I look at this as warfare. So, man, y'all, it's we got to wake people up. So if I had to offend some people by calling people slaves, when in fact legally that's their status, then I apologize. That is not my intent. I fully recognize their humanity, or else I wouldn't even be an abolitionist. So I will make it a point tomorrow to make sure that I dig up some information on the Texas, Texas prison work stoppage. Let me, you know, act like I don't got Google or access to the internet. All right. What is the last thing posted? Okay. The last thing, there's something from 3 days ago from this source called courthousenews.com. Texas disputes claims of inmate strikes. Texas prisons are locked down twice a year as a security measure, but a union claims it's called for inmates to strike to protest their slave wages is behind a series of recent lockdowns. The Industrial Workers of the World, founded in 1905, accepts prisoners as members. Its members, long known as the Wobblies, were among the leaders of the U.S. union movement with ties to socialist and anarchist groups. The union's incarcerated workers organizing committee announced on April 18 that its members had organized prisoner strikes in at least 4 Texas prisons that began on April 4 and led wardens to lock the prisons down. Now, I know that that's a false report, and I'm going to tell you how I know, because I'm a co-host and a technical producer of the weekly New Abolitionist radio program that comes on Black Talk Radio Network at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time every Wednesday. In 5 years, we have probably missed, and last week being one of them because the servers went down. But in 5 years, only missed maybe 3 programs, you know. And so I know that is a false report because we aired the audio to a video that was shot by this underground media producer by the name of Unicorn Riot. Unicorn, you know, like the mystical horse with the, you know, Unicorn, Unicorn Riot, and he took some footage of a meeting of these groups, members of this group that they were talking about, and one of the people that was involved, or I guess we could call him a quote-unquote leader, but one taking initiative, you know, to speak, being asked to, so he conveyed that their position is in support of the prisoners. And all of the prisoners' movements inside these prisons that we have been reporting on, and we've actually talked to people inside the walls over the years on this station. And he said they are totally in a support role, and they're urging people on the outside to whatever the prisoners ask us to do that. And one of the things that I remember him saying on that audio piece, in that video piece, was that they were asking that independent, they were asking for news coverage, saying that they was kind, they were, you know, quote unquote, blacking out media coverage and not, you know, playing down what was really going on. And I guess that's in the state media and whatnot. Maybe they're hearing from their family members, but they have been issuing statements and saying that, you know, they're being retaliated against, the members of the Alabama movement, some of their quote unquote leaders, people taking initiative. They were put into solitary confinement for organizing the strikes that they had done, and also getting video out of the conditions and what have you, and getting it published to the web through the underground. So the Underground Railroad really does exist, which is why we have a segment called Underground Railroad. And that kind of segues actually to the main topic that I want to talk about today, and ask questions and get people's thoughts if they so want to share them, especially if they're in opposition to, you know, any strategy or angles of, you know, the way that I present my viewpoint on it. But I'm, you know, just want to head off people in following the Akai Gurley case, and people who follow all these cases. So many people can, you know, follow these cases, report on them, share the information, attend rallies, put pressure on the slave catchers, pressure on the system of slavery, and you know, to bring about justice and what have you. But in the Akai Gurley case, the Asian, let's call him an Asian American, slave catcher, rookie though, he hadn't been on the job long, just had gotten out of, you know, the training that they give cadets and what have you, basic training, I guess you would call it for them. It's what they call it for us when I went in the military. So just came out, cadet came out, ended up shooting and killing, in fact, Kai Gurley. Claimed that it was an accident, shot in the dark, fumbling with his weapon, which shouldn't have never been even drawn, let alone had his finger on the trigger. And then I think I read some reports about it takes so many pounds per pressure to pull the trigger of those type of revolvers, you know, pounds per pressure, you know, per inch, square inch, however they describe that. So there were a lot of questions about that. But then what's not in dispute is the callousness in which he responded. After shooting Mr. Gurley, instead of rendering first aid, he was reported to have been on his phone texting his police union rep, and if I'm not mistaken, it's Pat Lynch. So trying to come up with the cover story, protect me, I'm in the slave catchers union. So, you know, and so Ken Thompson, it happened in his district. And forgive me, those in New York, if I had a district wrong, but I believe, you know, it represents the Brooklyn district, if they even call it districts, or Brooklyn Borough. I'm not sure. But Ken Thompson, I know that man's name. He's the prosecutor, and he's a black male. And, you know, there have been comments out there, you know, suggesting that he's a proxy racist or something to that effect. Terms I don't use. That's why I coined the term proxy racist, tools of the system of slavery. And so he has been, you know, accused of being Uncle Tom, Coon, all this, and calls for him to resign, calls for his job. And this is coming from a lot of people in the black community. I think I read an article or two, you know, citing some activists and what have you, some quotes that they got at some of the rallies, and, you know, basically throwing Ken Thompson under the bus and what have you, and not really, you know, and that leads to other people on social media with opinions, all types of media. That is where the masses get programmed. That's why it's important that we have a presence in all forms of media. It's very important, because that's where you sow seeds in the minds of the masses. And so, you know, a lot of us are not getting the correct information. We're not taking things into consideration, like Ken Thompson's track record. And I can only speak on him and even ask this question and present, you know, a pro versus a con of, and I'm talking about in the people activity area of politics, because it rules everything. I've yet to hear anyone come up with a logical argument and tell me, name an activity area that isn't controlled or influenced heavily by politics. Everything is. Okay. That is where the codes and the laws and the, that is the system. You see, it got parts to it and all that. It's a diagrams out there, that system. So, but Mr. Thompson, to make it short before we go to break here, shortly, we still got about 6 minutes. Mr. Thompson has been doing a lot of good work in uncovering wrongful convictions in the white supremacists, you know, who had the job prior to him. A white male prosecutor, been in there, I think, 20, 30 years. You know, oftentimes these people run unopposed and, you know, could be Democrat, could be Republican, could be independent. It really doesn't matter what party they belong to. What matters is if they mistreating people or not. So, we have a lot to consider. We have a lot to consider, and he has set a lot of people free by digging up these cases. That costs money. He has to devote a portion of the budget that the state give him, which they intend for him to prosecute, devote that to prosecuting people instead of digging up these cases where the former prosecutor engaged in all kind of misconduct, police detectives, particularly a dude by the name of Scarcella, set up hundreds of people, if not thousands. And so you have to weigh that versus your anger, and your anger is justified at the system, but don't direct it at him personally. These are the things you have to take into consideration, what he's up against. And so maybe all of this weighed into why he agreed to plead this Asian cop out, who I know some Asians up there got political power. Perhaps so in Brooklyn. Maybe they are part of Ken Thompson's constituency, just like a bunch of black folks are. And they're acting tribal, you know, and not all of them. Some of them have said they think the cop should go to jail regardless of his skin color. But others, you know, a lot of people who got business, economic power, therefore can influence politics and elected positions like Ken Thompson is, and they can make it hell for his reelection. So then if he don't get reelected, then guess what? No more slaves are being set free, because we wanted him fired because he cut a deal that we rightfully don't like and should keep demanding for true justice. I don't know the process in New York. So in New York, possibly that can be appealed. That decision could be appealed and what have you, and invalidate that agreement and put them on trial. But there are a lot of things to consider. Pat Lynch, I think that's the New York head slave catcher is for the union. Very vicious, openly racist. I mean, just, man. He is everything that you would think would be, all the characteristics, personal characteristics. That's the way he comes across. It's just a vicious white racist who has been elevated by virtue of his position politically in the system. You know, as I don't think he's currently working for the NYPD. I think he's retired, but he's getting a pension from the system. He's getting a pension, and now he's getting drawing a big old fat paycheck as the head of the New York Police Slave Catchers Union. So these are things that, you know, we have to, everything is not, let me give a Prince reference, black and white. Is it black or white? Is it black or white like that? I don't think so. I don't think it's cut and dry like that. There are things to take into consideration and what might be next if Ken Thompson gets booted out. So I'm definitely interested in hearing people's opinions on this. I'm not telling anybody to water down their demands on the system. on the system for justice for Akai Gurley, whatever, you know, your area is that you organize in, and you can, you know, do something towards that end, that it, that is a righteous path to be on. But then recognize what we up against. We up against hundreds of years of racists and white supremacists being in charge. How had they been in charge through this political process? So we have to be strategic. These are like little battles and what have you in the wars. And so at least I feel that Ken Thompson got a conviction and the guy is no longer on the police force. I don't know if he got a felony. I don't know if he got a misdemeanor. I don't know those details. I know he got fired. I know he pleaded guilty. A judge signed off because some responded. The judge didn't have to sign off on that. You know, the elected judges that people who do participate in politics put in place to decide these issues. A judge had the authority to reject that. So it's a, it ain't all on Ken Thompson on this deal. Judge approved it. So, you know, what's the next move if you want justice? You want to appeal it? Appeal it to get the attorney, state attorney general involved? Or I don't know. I don't have all the details like that, but you know, these are things to consider. I'd rather, if I was a voter, a black voter at that in Brooklyn, I would make sure, you know, that Ken Thompson, I would give him a strong admonishing. He would certainly get a demerit and it would be made known that, you know, but at the same time, I understand what you was up against. These white supremacists and slavers have been after you for a long time. They, you know, when he told them to stop bringing him these little petty marijuana arrests and all what I think they also call them death tickets. I'm not sure. But of course, we know they was using that to what? To extort $10 million a week out of what? Certain communities. They had the legal authority to do it to everybody, but they wasn't doing it to everybody. It was in the implementation of that code. So that's proof of racism right there, of who you were targeting. They're still practicing race-based slavery. If you a poor white person and you get caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, or if you engage in something that they say you can't do, you find yourself a slave too in the 21st century. That's the only difference between then and now. More people and more classifications are a part of this thing. So there are many reasons to have coalitions. Set other things aside and focus on the person that's enslaving people. But of course, we approach that from, you know, people have autonomy, but let's not get it twisted. We're up against powerful forces that have been ruling this continent, them and their descendants since, who knows, 1500s, perhaps 16. I know 1600s, the colonies of races got established, but this has been going on a long time, and I don't propose to have any easy solutions, you know, because it's warfare. It's warfare. So if you have any thoughts you would like to share, you can do that with us on the other side of the break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. The telephone number for the studio line, 704-951-5030. Again, that is 704-951-5030. The conference line is 641-715-3660. Participant code 549032 pound. That's how Dave say it, right? All right, so star 61 anytime you would like to comment on air. Again, bear with me as I change up our production the way we do the productions behind the scenes, but we hope to be improving the sound quality of the number of the programs that you hear on this network, as well as the podcast and how we distribute. Just, you know, nothing major, something little minor, something minor that, you know, minor things can make all the difference for, you know, and we would like the people who donate to us, who subscribe to the media, to, you know, have a pleasant listening experience. So we'll be back on the other side. Check the phone lines and get my closing thoughts on it with Ken Thompson and Justice for Akai Gurley being a very interesting case that brings black people and other non-white people into conflict, just the way the white supremacists designed the system. So we have to, you know, think about this and make chess moves and what have you. It's what we have to be doing. So y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
The world will soon place you and your family members under geopolitical, economic, and social unrest. Are you ready? If your answer is no, then this is the opportune time for you to become informed, aware, and prepared for soon coming events. For only $25 per month, become educated in the area of precious metals and disaster preparedness for your home and businesses. For more information, email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Because becoming an entrepreneur is very empowering, we would also like to encourage you in firing your boss. Learn the wonderful opportunities in the Forex market. Find out more about these proven strategies at www.imarketsliveinternational.com. The time has come that we become empowered instead of exploited.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Sincere Macquarie. Don't let the church shoes fool you, man. All right? You know what I mean? You understand?
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA. And shout out to my brother out there, Sincere Macquarie, with those God Life beats for providing us some of these tracks that you will be hearing more of on the radio network as we try to, you know, just improve upon some things. So shout out to you, brother. Appreciate your artistry. All right, so welcome back. So I really don't have any further points to raise or really any more arguments to make on, you know, just considering that the track record of Ken Thompson. Because, I mean, really, anybody that's been in a management position, anybody that's ever been in a position where you get to evaluate people's resumes and their records and things like that, you know, you apply that to everything from the president to the prosecutor. You look at these people, background, you look, you know, you weigh all these things. You're not going to find perfect people out there. You know, you might have two candidates and there are, let's say, three things over this person's 20-year career that you didn't agree with, that, you know, they voted for this, they voted for that, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And then on the other side, that other candidate's ledger, and you got like, you know, 30 investigations and lots of money spent on legal wrangling and whatnot and coming out with probation and all kind of, you know, what they call deferred prosecution agreements, you know, like they give the bankers who launder drug money. All right. So let's look at it from that context. Excuse me. Let's look at it, you know, and take all these things into consideration. And, you know, Ken Thompson has a good track record. We've never interviewed him. At least I've never have. But I can't speak for Max or Yohanan or if we've even reached out to him. So we can't call him an abolitionist, because abolitionist, you have to declare yourself an abolitionist. In order to declare yourself an abolitionist today, like Harriet Tubman was, but you're in the 21st century, 21st century, you had to first recognize that slavery exists, both legally and constitutionally. And it is in all the state constitutions. How do you think they enforce, if you want to simplify it and call something white supremacy and whatnot, how do they enforce that? I don't care about these people just trying to survive around me, white people, some of them friendly, some of them racist. I don't trust none of them. But these people struggling. They're living worse than a whole community of black people out here. I mean, how can I acknowledge their supremacy based on their white skin? When I look at my own county and analyze it the same way I look at other counties and other states in USA Inc., and I don't see the huge racial disparities in this county. In the county lockup is predominantly these poor white people that's in there with the heroin and the crystal meth and all of that. Then I might, you know, maybe one or two brothers in there out of maybe 100. I don't know the exact figures, but it's no, there is represented as part of your population percentage. You know the formula they use. It is not like a 80% white county, but the jail is 80% black. No, no. That is not what I have observed. That is not what I've seen in, you know, the arrest reports and the news about crime and all this and that. But slavery is still happening, though. So I'm just trying to get everybody to recognize the fact. If you want to honor somebody with like a Harriet Tubman, you know, don't put her on a capitalist bill that represents slavery. Become an abolitionist and work to end slavery. You have to end slavery in order to end white supremacy. And there are only several avenues to do that. That is through politics. That is through the legal system and through war, or perhaps a combination of all three. If you're really serious about ending slavery, and now I think is that mental block that prevents people from recognizing it. When they first hear it or they first read the 13th Amendment, they'd be like, man, like that book. You know, in that lecture series, The Lies My Teacher Told Me. And why did my parents know to tell me right? So, you know, people ignore that and they block it out, because then it's like a dude just first getting jacked out the Matrix to make a movie reference. Like just waking up like Neo in a pod as a human, a slave. Actually, to draw your kinetic energy or bioelectric energy to feed the machines, and you waking up from this dream world, and then you find this is the real world. I think that's the problem that some people mind because of the programming they have gotten from the school system, the entertainment, just every people activity, politics. They have these little ceremonies celebrating, you know, the passage of the 13th Amendment, while ignoring the fact it got a big old fat exception clause, except for the folks we put into prisons, then they are subject to involuntary servitude and slavery. I mean, man, on every level. It's right there in your face. But some people can't handle that, man. I guess they start getting ill and physically ill and can't operate in that reality. That's the best way I can explain it. Or the fact, and then some people, they wake up right to it. And instead of being embarrassed about not knowing these things until in their 40s, 50s, 60s or whatnot, but they jumped right in. They was like, I got to make up for lost time. Man, what will history write about my generation and the advances that this generation made against slavery? So, you know, Ken Thompson is a chess piece on a chessboard. And the brother over, since he's been holding that office, I can't tell you how many, if this is his first term or his second term or whatnot. But the dude is responsible for quite a number of people. I know of at least four stories I can remember of different individuals who were freed because of, you know, I think they call it the conviction integrity unit or something like that. That costs money because you got to pay people to go through these records and, you know, identify misconduct, and that costs money. That's why he didn't want them bringing him all these little cannabis arrests so that they had to waste resources on giving people fines and taking money out their pocket. He didn't want to fund, you know, setting slaves free with taking people's money and subjecting them to slavery. So, I mean, those are my thoughts on Ken Thompson. The man has a track record. He gets a reprimand. If he was in my platoon and he did something like this, we would talk about it. He would explain to me what went into his decision, all the pressure, what, you know, whatnot, all the details that we don't like to really, you know, get into. Realize that's one man taking bold action against the system. What bolder action can you take than to set a slave free? So he gets a reprimand for agreeing to this bad deal. And we'll just also start criticizing the judge, since he was the highest on the food chain in that courtroom, who agreed to this, who approved this deal. He could have said, no, I don't think that's right. That, man, this was straight up manslaughter, if we even want to believe it wasn't intentional, that it was an accident. It would at least be manslaughter. He's got to do at least five, get out in 2.5, and you know what I'm saying, man. Think about this. In the district in New York where they murdered Eric Garner on film and knew they was being filmed by that posse of slave catchers and choked them out, then didn't even, you know, render any kind of first aid. Pattern and practice right there. They never rendered this first aid and what have you. Now, so we see how that prosecutor handled that. What you call it, is still on the job. There are so many slave catchers. I apologize if I can't remember all the names, but he's still on the job, last I read. Still on the job on desk duty, probably playing Pac-Man or something like that. Computer games and taking the trash out, collecting up the trash, distributing the lunch to all the people, and still getting a paycheck and what have you. Cause the prosecutor threw the case. He didn't want no indictment on no charges or like that. So you have to now compare that to what it, the thing to what Ken Thompson was at least able to get. This dude fired and agreed to a conviction. And if he violates this probation, he sent up for some time. Now, I'm just saying, compare and contrast. And got to throw in Mr. Thompson's record of setting slaves free. So he gets a demerit in his file. And we'll move on from there. And hopefully we can put him and many more people in position to where he ain't got to cut deals like that. So let's not just be emotional and reactive and without knowing details and considering all the moves on the chessboard, all possible moves on the chessboard, what the enemy, you know, could have possibly been thinking and what have you. Before we throw this man under the bus, we just give him up to the opposing side on the chessboard. The white supremacists, we'll just call it what it is. People with the power, economic and political. We just going to sacrifice him like we sacrificing a pawn. He ain't no pawn. This dude is at least a knight or a bishop. But he can make moves vertically across the board and whatnot. And, you know, this particular bishop on the chessboard been getting some pieces back for us. So we have to, again, not be reactionary and just, you know, not try to make simplify something out of very complex situation. And I have to think it's complex or we would have been ended slavery by now. They're very crafty. But then, you know, if you can read and pay attention to certain things and you know, ask to see the small print, people should have recognized in 1865, and perhaps they did, that they ain't really ended slavery, because I'm sure they saw immediately all the people in the different counties throughout the different states and whatnot. They started seeing all these black folks getting locked up and put in jail and then sent to prison and put on a chain cane and laying the railroad tracks all across the America, all in down in the rural areas and sent off to the mines. Even little children as young as, you know, I think the youngest I ever heard of was like 10 years old. I ever read personally. Actually read a story, but, you know, I've heard other people talk about it generally. Yes, children. I mean, look, they vicious today. I think the Clintons and the Republicans in the 1996 was in part of many of those bills that they passed, you know, made these kids at 12 years old or 13 years old, you know, eligible to be tried as adult. Therefore, could be even put on death row. Let's not forget Clinton executed a man who people described as being so mentally incapacitated that they compared him to, like, you know, a child like. And he made a public spectacle of this. Again, going back, I was just thinking about this today about Nat Turner. I wonder if they have it in the movie and show the viciousness of them racists and the white supremacists when they finally caught Nat. Gave him a little kangaroo trial with all white jury and then just publicly hung him up in the square and just mutilated his body, peeled his skin off all it. I mean, all kind of barbarity, man. Those same type of mindsets, I think, are with us today. All right. So just want to, before I close out, give you some news updates from our social media timeline on Black Talk Radio Network. Also follow us on Twitter at Black Talk Radio. We'll follow you back and whatnot, see what news you're sharing so we can keep the cycle of information or information flowing, the circle of information, I should say. Keep passing it on, passing it on, passing it on till we get back to the source. But I want to talk about this particular issue of 21st century slavery and human trafficking. You got, let me open up this article from Fox News. You got this governor, let me see, not the Virginia governor. Let me see. This is some, let me see if I can get the full article. Trying to find out who said this. If it was one of these GOP, I'm sure it was. Let me just share this short article with you. There, this is the headline on Fox News. A huge hand for Hillary. So maybe nobody said it, and that's Fox News editor saying that, suggesting in your mind that, hey, they did this to help Hillary Clinton steal the White House. Never mind the fact that she helped put them there in the first place, helped us put them there in the first place, helped Newt Gingrich, one of our most revered party leaders, help, you know, regardless of that. But this is what, this is their headline. A huge hand for Hillary. Virginia governor now allowing 200,000 felons to vote. Now, I'm not going to read the whole article, but what it boils down to is something that my friend and abolitionist, I hope to call him a friend, even though I never met him. You know, I talked to him, had other, you know, interactions with him like that, and communicated, you know, via email and whatnot. So I hope I could call him a friend, but anybody that's an abolitionist is a friend of mine. Let me just say that. All right. And he's running for the city council in Baltimore. His name is Christopher Urban. You might have heard him on several different programs giving interviews before he even decided to run for city council. He's an abolitionist. And this is some of the things he's been working on in the state of Maryland, is to push giving people back their right, all their rights that white supremacists say is supposed to be for everybody. So they come up with ways through their laws and codes, because, again, that's how you implement white supremacy. That's how you implement it against black people, you know. So they're trying to make it seem like they're trying to rile up the right wing base. And people don't really think, you know, these people serve their time. They paid their did their probation. Why shouldn't they have their voting rights restored? Why would you want to keep somebody in permanent slave status? Because a slave has no vote. The number of slaves, you know, does figure into their racist system on representation in the government, which is the system that perpetrates white supremacy. They count you then as a slave, like they have always done. And apportion seats and what have you. North and South was arguing about it prior to the Civil War. But that practice still goes on today. But even after you get off the plantation, they want you to be banned for life from voting. Why would they do that? So this is a big deal. It was not done for Hillary Clinton. That's what's so insulting. I'm sure this is work of anti-slavery, prison reform activists, whatever you want to call people who work on these issues, that all do have to do at its root cause is slavery. People in Virginia who fought for this probably had allies, you know, nationally and who knows internationally. No, governors and political parties just don't up and do something out of the blue to do anything that's going to counter any effects of racism through the political system. They're not going to up and do that. They had to be forced to do that. So, you know, this Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, I think is his name, he might be a Democrat. He may have endorsed Hillary Clinton, but Hillary Clinton put these people there and got them tagged with them felonies for life. She helped. I don't want to put it all on her. Bill Clinton led the way, but she was, you know, standing right by her man, like, you know, he was Batman and she was Robin. Equal partners in crime. So he signed an executive order. What I've been talking to people about, y'all say President Obama can't do this or can't do that. This man is the CEO maybe you don't understand that systems function. They have to function in a certain way in order to get a desired outcome. And although people manipulate their system and they don't use the tools they had, let's not say they are powerless. And that CEO of USA Inc., President Obama, has the power to sign, to issue an executive order that will remove cannabis from the DEA list of most dangerous drugs, which nobody has ever OD'd on. So how you gonna even say that? But again, getting into the politics, the lobbyists, the pharmaceutical drug companies that want you taking their drugs, forcing you to buy and whatnot, instead of being able to use natural remedies. So they outlaw these things and then lock you up for them, make a slave out of you. Federal government CEO Obama could issue that executive order, and it would just be up to the states then to enact their own laws. See, people don't know how the systems work, and it's really not that complicated. And so this executive officer of this state signed an executive order allowing former felons to vote, up to 200,000 people. That's justice. That's a battle in the win column in the lone war. And so he, you know, he's being described as an ally of Clinton. And so Fox News trying to spin it like he did this for Clinton. And of course, Clinton is taking advantage of it. And just like she ran up to New York with the governor there, Cuomo, like she, you know, taking pictures with him with her hand raised in the air, celebrating in triumph the passage of a state bill to make $15 the minimum wage when, you know, she had to be pulled up to that amount. And just like here, she's running there or celebrating with him because that's her ally, her partner in crime and what have you. But he did the right thing in this, but somebody had to put that pressure on him to make him do it. But Hillary Clinton is responsible. She was on in that coalition of Republicans and Democrats who made these people felons for life. President Obama could issue an executive order that applies to everybody who have federal felonies on their record. He'd do the same thing. So nobody's putting any pressure on him to do that, though. They're putting more pressure on him in the form of butter biscuits to do the exact opposite and support slavery. So anyway, that's my program. Hope that you found the information useful and informative. There's some other stories, but congrats to them second class citizens that got their right to vote back. Probably got, now you need to get your Second Amendment rights back. Work on that. So, yeah, check out our news feed. All the podcasts are up to date as of now. So check out all the different podcasts. There's some other information. People's Organization for Progress had a rally today, I believe. Yes, it was today. They had a rally today, and they hosted its 13th consecutive Justice Monday rally. This is in New York, by the way. No, not New York. I'm sorry. To demand federal investigations into four active police cases here in New Jersey. And they also had another rally for a political candidate for president, Bernie Sanders, and some other information. That's the type of information that you can find. That's a press release from POP. I appreciate the work they'll do. They do. Cleveland settled lawsuit over Tamir Rice shooting for $6 million. Dollars, and they canceled the charge for the ambulance ride that they charged the family $500 for. They canceled that bill and settled for $6 million. So those are a couple of stories there that you can check out through our social media feeds, and of course all the podcasts and different live and pre-recorded radio stations that don't even originate from this network, but we promote them as a nonprofit who is engaged in elevating black media in all its forms, especially if it's black owned. So I'll be back on air tomorrow. Coming up today, later today, more live programming for you at 6 o'clock p.m. That's 6 o'clock. Tando Radio Show will be on air. So Brother Dave will be the hosting today. So make sure that you stay tuned. In the meantime, we have pre-recorded content coming up for you on the radio station. And we got media on demand on the website, Black Talk Radio Network. Recognize the fact that you do live behind enemy lines. It's a battlefield out there. Casualties being created every day. So develop some battlefield skills so that you don't become an easy casualty or a modern day slave. Peace and blessings.
So we say, we always say the black battle party, that they can do the day they want you to. We might not be back, I might be in jail, I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you remember I said the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek and they made it with a bat. Fucking protesting them sinners. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was all for your war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called a national guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was burning your guard. It's like in the mimic on the fly. To you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then die to pursuit.
One day it'll all make sense. It's feeling about power that it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you think about, then all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
For those of you who don't know the pain, the government was slinging out them old cane and bullets of propaganda with no cane. So on the same day that overcame, Jay Ecky and his men and men raided Will O'Neill waiting. Sedative and chemist drinks, so when the house was eventually taken, shots went off, he would never even wake up. 21 years old, saw his final destination. Said neutralized the threat, also called assassination. Chicago police acquitted on accusation that their soldiers he was born and never made. Are you willing to die for your cause? Even if it's two in the head, you died in the hall. They say united we stand, divided we fall. Divided we fall.
One day it'll all make sense. It's about power, then it don't.